This is Sean with Voices of SAE. I'm speaking with Samuel Morgan. Sammy, how you doing, man?
Good, man. How you doing?
I'm good. So, you were in the Beta Rho pledge class, and what was the year fall or spring?
It was fall of 1996.
Fall of 96. It was a beautiful time. I think I was living behind the house in a haunted house, and I was also the mascot. And you came from what city right before that?
South side of Indy, kind of on the Indianapolis-Greenwood border.
And grade school, yeah. High school, where'd you go?
MacArthur Elementary and Meridian Middle School, and then Perry Meridian High School.
Okay.
Falcons.
So, sports and community activities, what'd you get involved with?
Well, my family is a long line of football coaches, so I played a lot of football from about second grade all the way up to freshman year, and, travel teams and little league teams, and then kind of gave that up and just kind of swapped over to swimming and became a swimmer. Swam all 4 years in high school and did pretty good on that. Other than that, I guess athletics is pretty much my life all through school, other than friends.
All right, and then what was your determination? Why Ball State?
Ball State. So my grandmother and grandfather went to Ball State. My uncle and aunt went to Ball State. My dad and mom went to Ball State. My sister went to Ball State. I had a couple of cousins went to Ball State. So it was like a family thing since, I guess, the 1940s. So basically they were like, hey, where do you want to go to school? And I was like, well, I was thinking, IU or even Duke. And they're like, no, you're going to Ball State. So there was no negotiation on there. I just had to go there.
And what was the idea of study that you would dive into?
Well, I was always creative. I wanted to be an architect and saw that you had to be pretty good at math. So then I kind of switched over to, I wanted to be an illustrator, artist. So I went for graphic design, and then that didn't really work out. So I ended up moving over to just illustration as a degree in the art department.
Wow. Okay. My originally was graphic design, and then I realized that I didn't want to be the guy always being told, nope, that's wrong, redo it.
Right.
Right. I like to be the conceptual, coming up with the plan, and have somebody else go, nope, do it again.
Exactly.
So who was the first connect? What was that first connect with SAE?
Well, so I grew up listening to my father and uncle. They're both SAEs, about 9 years apart.
Ah.
My dad was a Zeta at SAE, and then my uncle was Alpha something. Dad graduated in 73, and my uncle graduated in like 81 or 2. So they always had SAE stories, and then they'd have their SAE buddies come over on certain times, and they'd just start telling stories. So it always sounded quite natural that when I went to Ball State that I would try to join a fraternity. But once I got there, I was pretty anti-fraternity. It was kind of that era in the 90s when everybody was kind of against frats and all that. But all it took was one visit. I think we went there for a party. It was probably the first or second week freshman year, and I think the first person I met was probably like Brian Wade, Suede Wade, and he offered us, I took my buddy from Purdue who ended up becoming an SAE at Purdue. He offered us some beer, took us around the house, and I just fell in love with the place.
That's awesome. All right, so who are your pledge trainers, and who are some of the other guys like in your pledge class that you really became tight with?
So Sean Papps, and he had gotten, I think he was already working away from Muncie, or he had an internship. I can't remember, but he couldn't be there a lot, so he'd come in on the weekends to do the pledge class thing. And Dondo was pretty much the, he wasn't alone, but he was the guy that was in the house kind of leading our pledge class through all the stuff. And the fellas, actually the guys that I still keep in contact with today are, I mean, we text each other back and forth almost weekly. Swearingen, Scotty J, Ty Miller, Matt Minier, Matt Jones, and of course my best friend Bernie Darko, and Bill Wirtz, actually, Bill Wirtz too. So that's our kind of our core group, and we still get together maybe every 2 years.
That's awesome. So where'd you guys go on walkout?
Cincinnati. Yeah. That was kind of crazy. Cincinnati, the whole kidnapping thing beforehand was nuts. I can't believe you can run after people in broad daylight and tackle them in the middle of the street in the village and tie them up, throw them in a car and drive away, and nobody's calling the cops or anything. But that happened. I think Matt Jones was our one pledge brother that got captured, and we found out where he was, and it was in an apartment complex, and we ran up and we were looking up at a balcony, and they had him all tied up in duct tape and kind of leaned him over the railing, and you could tell he was obliterated. They had been feeding him shots or something, so he kind of just waved at us, a big smile, and that was funny. I think we captured a couple people, but anyway, we went to Cincinnati was kind of cool. We had this thing called the Micmac Run, and you kind of walk outside the front doors of the SA house at Cincinnati. There's this big hill, and there's these lions on the top of this big hill, and you got to strip down naked, run all the way up to the top of the hill, touch the lions, and then run all the way back down before the cops show up. And so we did that, and I think I was running up the hill, and at the same time, I think it was Ryan Waterman running down the hill, and it's dark out. And anyway, we slapped right into each other, crotch to crotch, and kind of fell out into the bushes while he was running down and I was running up the hill. And my brothers still tell that story to this day. It was horrifying. But we made it up the hill, made it back, and couldn't find my underwear, so I went underwearless probably the rest of the weekend.
Oh, that's hilarious. Did anything happen at their house?
At the house? I don't know. I lived in the house probably 3 years.
No. At the house in Cincinnati. Oh. Did anything go down that night that was crazy at their house?
No, it was kind of low key. They were supposed to have a party, and they didn't. So we all ended up going to the bars, and I think it was 18 years old for entry in the bars, and I was 18, so kind of went and stole some drinks at the bars and went to a random party too. I don't really remember much about that.
Okay. So, you know, how long was your pledgeship?
22 weeks.
Yeah. See, it's supposed to be 9. Ours was like 27. So they definitely, elongate it a little bit.
We started with 26 guys, and I think we ended up with 11 or 12.
All right, so, you know, unique question. Did you have positions in the house at any point?
Did I have any positions in the house?
Yeah.
No, I was a, what do we call it, a Nero. I tried for several positions, but I don't think I had the best reputation for being dependable. Back then, so I never was selected.
Okay, all right. So let's just kind of get down to the brass tacks of some flashback stories. Here are the categories I want you to think about, and then I want you to kind of roll through. So one, road trips. Two, funny things that happen at parties. Three, maybe watermelon bust homecoming out at the tailgate scenario. Four combative things with other fraternities. Within those realms or any other ones, just kind of start bouncing and going through some flashbacks of some fun, great moments.
Road trips. I would say there was a time we, I think we went paintballing down in Bloomington or like Brown County area. We had a big bus, took it down there. I think we were going to go somewhere after that, maybe a walkout or something. But had a keg on the bus, I think, and took the bus down there and just blasted away at each other for a few hours playing paintball. That was a really good road trip. Another one would be, well, so the first thing that probably comes to my mind would be Pledge Ship, Hell Week. We had a wonderful brother decide to play Cotton Eye Joe the entire week. We were down in the basement, and that song just played over and over and over and over again the entire week, and we all slowly got mad, and to this day, I think my wife knows about it, and she knows whenever that song comes on, she either needs to turn it quickly or get me out of the room, because I start having flashbacks. it wasn't that bad, but that was pretty bad.
Sorry about that.
other than that, so let's see, sophomore.
Well, I touch on the fact that what happened after that tradition.
Oh, after that, I thought Pledge Ship's always had a song on their Hell Week, and apparently we were the first ones. After that, we took pride in picking the worst possible popular song and making the Pledge class have it during their Hell Week. I think the worst one I ever heard was "I'm a Barbie Girl in a Barbie World," because I couldn't even stand to go down there and hear that song when those guys were going through that. So, yeah, it was quite a tradition. It was better on the other side than the receiving side.
Right. Sure. All right. You got it. Go on.
Okay. So. So Minier and I, we became roommates, sophomore year, and junior year, we lived in an apartment in the village. I don't know, there's so many stories. We had, I remember the night after we became, got through Pledge Ship, I think it was the night of, there was a huge fight with the Delt in the front yard. And I think Little Boedeker got hit in the head, and Mike Boedeker was just raging, kind of really upset about it. So we all went out there, and Big Bill Wirtz, my Pledge brother, went out there, and he lit up some Delts. I still have images of Delts flying through the air. He's an impressive fighter. But we had kind of a lot of stuff like that happened through the years between us and the Delts. There was the epic snowball fight. We'd have a snowball fight with all the fraternities every year. So it'd always start like maybe between us and Sigma Chi's, and then it would gravitate over to the Delts, and then we'd all three fraternities would go over to DeKai's, start throwing snowballs at their house, then they'd come out. And we go down to the Chops, and then we would walk all the way down to SIGEP's, big group of like five fraternities, and just start pelting the SIGEP house with like hundreds of snowballs. And then only like one or two SIGEPs would come outside and try to throw them back at us. But that was always fun and unexpected. It would just happen one night, and there'd just be a giant snowball deal. And then there was the big rumble I think it was still a pledge. I'm not sure. But so we got into something with the Sigmachis across the street, and they all lined up on their side of the road, and we all came out and lined up on our side of the road. I think it was Halloween, because I remember Swearingen was dressed up as a scarecrow. And they came across the street, and we met them, and it was just a rumble like I've never seen before. Everybody's throwing punches. I think Bart Strauss had a mini bat, and just swinging and punching. You know, everybody's getting nailed, and I think we ended up winning. People on the ground getting kicked. That was probably the biggest fight I've ever been in between two fraternities. And after that, though, we were always cool with the Sigma guys. After that big rumble, I think the rest of my time in college, we were kind of like mutual respect of each other. But that front lawn, that was the spot. My sophomore, junior, two senior years, we would take couches, you know, first sunny day, doesn't matter how warm it was. We'd take couches, empty the house of all these random couches in the basement or in the formal, not the formal couches, but just like random couches people threw away, and put them out in the yard. So we'd have like four or five couches. Everybody bring a cooler of beer. Yoakum or Dirty Riz would have the playlist on the radio, and we would just sit out there on these couches. Girls would come over, sororities, whatever, and we'd play beer traffic, and we just watch all these cars. Everybody pick a color of a car, and you had to drink when that car drove by, and you'd have a social if a cop car drove by or a bus or whatever.
So I brought out a bowl of meatballs because Virginia had cooked meatball sub lunches, and I threw a meatball into the street while that was going on, and then we started watching to see which car hit the meatball. And whichever car hit the meatball, that person had to chug their beer. And then all of a sudden, all these meatballs start going in the street. And then afterwards, there was all these flat meat patties all over the freaking Riverside. Because the cars kept running over the meatballs. And then, like, the next day, you, like, walk down, all of a sudden, there's all these flat meat patties all over the street. And everybody's like, how the fuck did all these meat patties get out here? Anyway, go on.
Beach volleyball got really big. We would we'd be doing beer traffic with couches, and then we'd have teams rotating in on the court trying to beat the team that was winning all the games. We played beach volleyball hours and hours, and we got really good at it. I thought we did. I mean, everybody was like setting and spiking, and you know, it got real competitive. What else? So my senior year, we had this guy named Kirby Oling. He liked to get fully naked and just walk out into the front yard and hang out. So Kirby's this big, fun guy and really hairy. And he'd just hang out in the front lawn all day, butt naked, drinking beer. And it got to be really normal. So, you know, you didn't even realize he was naked after a while.
He wasn't wearing underwear and just standing with his junk out?
Mm-hmm. Completely naked, all day long, hanging out, smoking cigarettes, drinking beer, and around, you know, women and men, just, that was Kirby. It was kind of weird. But yeah, I love Kirby, man. He's a great guy. I still talk to him. But yeah. Then
what about some like sorority stuff? Any sorority flashbacks of?
So the most epic paired party that we had some epic parties, man. It was crazy. Shout out to Nips and who else did it? I don't know. I just remember Nips, but I think he did this epic pairing where we had four sororities, four frats, and then the Palms, and one of the sororities was a black sorority, female sorority, and then I think we had a black male sorority, fraternity as well. And I just remember it was just like this big melting pot of everybody, and you had the Palms there, and you had the black sorority doing that dance that they do down in the basement. Everybody was getting into that. They were a lot of fun, and then we had we had like a band downstairs, DJ upstairs, and I think there might have been like another band in the backyard. I don't know. It was that was just an incredible party, and I can't believe we pulled it off without completely destroying the house.
Right. So, if do you have any other specific ones you want to share?
I had this. So I did a lot of stupid stuff. A lot of stuff I can't remember, and I'm sure my roommates and friends would love to tell some stories about me. But one I do remember, I was coming out the front of the house after a party with a girl, and I was kind of walking her to her car, and I saw this beer can on the ground. It was dark out. I picked it up, and it was full, but it dented. And I was like, oh, screw this, and I threw it over the back of my shoulder towards the road. I threw it up pretty high, and all of a sudden I hear this car coming real fast down the road, and I turned around, and it was, I think it was Muncie, no, I don't think he was Muncie, I think he was a campus police car buzzing down River Street, and not River Street, but R Street, and the beer can just arced and came right down right when he was passing the front of the house and landed right in the middle of his hood and exploded all over his windshield. And I was like, oh, shit. And he screeched on his brakes. I looked at the girl. I was like, have a good night. And I ran in through the front door and proceeded to strip off my shirt and throw it away and change my shirt. And I think it was changing my shoes. I was just like changing my whole outfit, put a hat on. Cops are at the front door looking for who threw the beer. And I just walk up there nonchalantly. And I was like, what's going on? And they're like, they're looking for a guy in a blue shirt. Threw a beer can at their car. I was like, well, I haven't seen anybody like that. So that was pretty stupid.
You could have, you should have said, yeah, some guy ran through the house and jumped over the back wall in a blue shirt.
yeah, probably should have.
That's hilarious. All right, so if you were... Who would be some of the other guys that you'd love to hear them tell their stuff on this whole legacy project thing?
So like my roommate, 2 years, Minier, I'd love to hear Minier. I don't know if you've done him yet, but he's probably one of the funniest people I've ever met. I'm thinking his stories would be incredible. And then I've heard the stories, but I'd like to share them with you guys, my dad and my uncle. I think they would be really good candidates for the older generation of SAEs and see what it was like back then.
I like that. That's, yeah, we do. See, that's the thing. It's like you've got all these different generations, and I don't personally know the other generations, but they know their guys. So if we could get, a few at each level that can expand within those levels to get those guys to be able to come in, then we can, help build the database horizontally through all the eras. But
well,
also,
once you get one, then you're going to get, a couple more of that
and
era.
What years, what years were they? Or how?
See, my dad graduated 73. He was a Zeta, and then my uncle was like 81 or 82. Or 80. I don't remember what year.
Yeah, that's awesome. But back in the 70s and the 80s, and you're in the late 90s. That's a beautiful lineage of decades of difference.
Yeah, definitely. And it's an eye opener how different it really was.
So what would be some of the advice you'd give to some of the young guys that are there that thinking about pledging, or what they should get out of it while they're there, and then also benefits after college?
I think the number one thing that the fraternity taught me, going through college and you're by yourself for the first time, you lean on your brothers, and they're going to be there. They're like family. And that was something for me that I needed while I was there. And then also, these are the guys that went to my wedding, came to my mom's funeral when she died, 2 years ago. And, and we're still in touch today. And you're building this lifelong relationship with these guys. Now, while in college, I would definitely say, don't do what I did. Don't drink as much as I did. Focus on your schooling a little bit more. You're there to make grades and get a major and graduate, which I did. But if I would have focused more, I think I would have had a better major than I got. But focus on school, but also enjoy your fraternity.
Okay. All right. Well, is there anything else you'd like to say in closing?
No. I'm Kirker. I'm Sean. I'm really impressed with what you're doing here, man. I think you're doing a great job, and keep it up. It's really impressive. I love listening to all the stories.
You're
doing a great service.
I thank you. And it's one of those things that I love hearing them, but the reality is I'm hearing shit that I never even knew about, but it's still on par with all the other stuff. And it's great when somebody starts reminiscing how a trigger will spark something else. I'm like, oh, wait, I forgot about that. And I forgot about that. And I forgot about that.
Oh, yeah.
And then this happened. And then that person did this. So it's been like I get to hear every single one of them. You guys maybe have listened to all of them, but it's going to keep going. But if all of them could be keyword categorized and then searched, like it's ridiculous the amount of stuff that's covered that happens on campus and around the country after school, this, that, and the other. And it really is a beautiful library of perspective knowledge of the whole thing. But bottom line is everybody is coming with some heat, and there's some really, really cool ways, cool things that people are like helping each other reminisce about. And it's been awesome for me, and to be able to, give some back to help the house. But bigger goal is to kind of get everybody reengaged so we can do a big capital fundraising campaign and get the guys a new house, because they need a new house. Every other house on campus is big and badass. We're still the same old small barn. And we need a new house up there, and that's
definitely bigger goal.
All right, well, listen. Go ahead.
Yeah.
No good.
Oh, well, I mean, that's every time the Beta Roads get together, and if we ever do go to Muncie, which we have a couple times, that's the number one conversation is, how do we put money together to get these guys a new house? And we're working on it. But I think we've got a shot at it.
Just got to keep it moving.
Yeah.
All right, well, listen, Phi Alpha, thank you for your time, but stay on the line.
All right, Phi Alpha, buddy.
All right.